Tonight I'm going to remind you of some things that we have, that we all know. I'm going to talk to you about using your authority in the name of Jesus. Actually, it's part of the authority of the believer. I know most of you probably know this. A lot of you, I see. I know you've been to Rhema. I know you got taught it there. But you know, it doesn't hurt us to be reminded sometimes. Amen? You know, the world we're living in, man, we need to realize that we got some authority. I mean, businesses are failing. People are struggling. racism and hatred and evil's everywhere and all kinds of stuff going on. Tragic events happening in the natural. I mean, we would say it's a mess. And then people won't say God's in control. And they use the scripture of Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all its people belong to him. But however, God is not in control. If he was, it wouldn't be in such a mess. You know? The first thing we need to know that the devil is in control of this world. He got control of this world when he went into the Garden of Eden and caused Adam to sin, and Adam got kicked out of the garden. And in fact, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now, I like the way the NLT says it. It says, "Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God." Of course, I've been taught this all my life. My dad, this is one of his strong points was to teach. And then it tells us in John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief, the enemy, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you more have life and have it more abundantly." So that right there tells you that what all's going on, all this mess that's going on, and people being hurt and disease and sickness and everything that's trying to come in, is not a God. It's the devil. But the Word of God tells us that we have authority to change our worlds that we live in. You know, if you haven't read, how many of you have read The Authority of the Believer by my father, Kenneth E. Hagin? How many haven't? I'm not going to get on to you, but how many have not read it? Let me see your hand. I would suggest you get that little book and read it. It doesn't take that long to read. And it is, that book is probably, it's not our number one seller and has been for years and years and years. I don't know what, all the way back into about 2000, I think it was. We been over 1 million copies sold. I don't know how many have been sold by now. But this book has literally changed people's lives. You know, we need to realize that the church, that's us, the born-again Christians, the ecclesia, not just the local church, but the church. When I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about the local body. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which includes everybody that is born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ecclesia. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think that we have yet realized the full extent of our authority as believers. If you really want to really get a good picture of the authority of the believer, then you need to read the book of Ephesians. I don't think there's any other book that gives the overall picture of the authority of the believer, like the book of Ephesians. And I want to encourage you to read that book. And, you know, read it once a quarter if you have to, or more than that. But I especially want you to read Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, and Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. These are anointed prayers that Paul prayed, and my dad, I got it from him, and he used to teach this. He'd tell people to do this. He would pray those prayers over himself daily. I got that from him. I do the same thing. I've told my family to do the same thing. These prayers show us the authority of the believer, and I recommend that you read them daily. I try to read them every day, you know. And I put my name in there where, you know, and in fact, my wife got me a little personal, little New Testament. And in it, when they go through, they put your name in there. How many of you know what I mean? Any of y'all read it like that? Put your name there? I do. My dad taught me to do that. It's a good deal that I might have be filled with wisdom and revelation. Hello now. You'd be surprised what will begin to happen when you begin, not only first, but after you begin to read those for a while, you'll be all of a sudden you'll start understanding some things that you never didn't understand before, because it talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Come on now. Okay. You know, we have to learn how to pray properly. A lot of time people pray and they're asking God this, that, and the other. But we need to pray from the standpoint of with authority, because of who we are in Christ, using the name of Jesus. So we need to know our authority in Christ. The knowledge of God's word will give us our authority, who we are. That's one of my favorite subjects to teach in the Bible school, is redemptive realities. I love to teach that class, because if you can get a hold of who you really are in Christ and begin to live that life, I'm going to tell you what, things will change. Look at John 8, 31, 32. John 8, 31, 32. I'm going to read from the NLT. I know a lot of people don't like you to read from, but I like to read from the NLT if it isn't too far off, because most of it really gives a better explanation in the way we speak today. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. People, yes, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Oh, yes, yes. Are you? It says, you are truly my disciple if you remain faithful to my teachings. Come on now. I know this is not a shouting sermon, but this is a sermon that will help you if you'll listen to what we have to say. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. His teaching is truth. You can depend upon it. You know, we have to know the truth that we have as being children of God, being in Christ. If we don't know what we have, even though we are born again, if we don't know what we have, we can't take advantage of it. Okay? Say you're hungry, you don't have any food, but somebody has left you, and it's in the bank in your name, a bunch of money. It's yours. It belongs to you. But if you don't know about it, you can't use it. And then there are some people that know about it, but they just don't take advantage of it. You know, God has given us authority in the name of Jesus. But you can't really use that until you understand it. Number one, we've got to realize the battles that we're fighting are spiritual battles. Now, there are things that can be done in the natural. I know that and I understand that. But behind it all is the spiritual battle in the heavenlies. Come on now. Ephesians 6:12-13. We'll use a lot of scriptures out of Ephesians in this meeting. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Now, if you remember Daniel, he was praying, and yet it was several days, 22 days, I believe, before the angel got there with the message. Anybody ever remember reading that in Daniel? And remember, the messenger that was sent from on high said, I was dispatched the minute you started praying. But I had to fight with the prince of Persia. Remember that? But Daniel kept praying. His continued praying, or as we would do it in the name of Jesus, our continued confession, gives an opportunity for whatever we are speaking about or speaking to come into fruition. That's why I make certain confessions every day. When I pray over my food, I say, thank you, Lord, for the food and so forth. Then I make this confession. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I am well, I am healthy, and I'm whole. Take sickness from our mess and give us health and healing. That's something I put, if you listen, and there's my family sitting there, they can tell you that's what I say as the first part of my prayer. See, you got to learn to put confession in many places. Some people think you got to sit down and have a list. No, just... I mean, all through the day, I may make a confession. But I make a point to do it every time I pray over my food, because that way I know I'm going to pray it at least two times a day. Because I normally don't eat breakfast. Somebody said, do you drink coffee? Yeah, I drink 3 cups every morning. I used to not drink it at all, but I started drinking with her because she likes coffee. I never drank it until several years ago I started drinking. That's all the coffee I drank, period. And that's my morning. And then if I have a noon meal, and then I have a meal. When I'm out on the road in crusades, I eat twice a day. I eat at noon and I eat after service. I never eat before I go to the pulpit to preach. Now, I'm not saying that's what everybody else should do. That's me. I learned it from my dad. My dad said, and I learned it from him. So, and he was pretty good preacher. So I figured it was a pretty good deal. He said, I never eat before I go to minister, because when you eat, immediately your body starts digesting the food, and you don't have as much energy, and you're not as quick-witted. Have you ever noticed after you eat lunch, if you're not careful, you sit there, doze off? Why? Because most of your energy is going for digestion. That's just a little side thought. Y'all probably already knew it anyway, but I just told you, all right? Whenever we deal with the enemy or deal with anything that's coming against us, we have to be vitally conscious of what the Word says and that we have authority. Now, he'll try to speak to your mind and try to get you to say, well, now, wait a minute. You better think about this. Now, you don't want to get spiritually egotistical. Come on now. That's not getting spiritually egotistical. That's knowing what belongs to you. Knowing that the devil is a defeated foe. We receive the authority to use the name of Jesus against the enemy when we are born again. That's when you receive that authority. Now, that authority expands the more you know about who you are in Christ, and then when you're filled with the Spirit. The devil does not want us to understand and know about our authority, because when we really understand our authority, he's had it. Do you realize that he cannot take advantage of you? He can't do anything unless you allow it. If you use the authority that God has given you, look at Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among the snakes and the scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Now, he's not talking about real snakes and real scorpions. He is using those two things as examples of something that can harm you, even to the point of death. He is using that to let you know that when these things come against you in real life, all of the financial things, disease, whatever it is, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to speak to it. Walk on top of it. You know, I don't know. I'm probably going to date myself, but go back into the 50s. That's when I grew up. Nancy Sinatra had a song out called These Boots Are Going to Walk All Over You. Anybody remember that? Well, I got some people. Either you're not part of the 50s, but you've been around and you've heard it. Well, I'll tell you what. You need to get to the point to let the devil know that these boots are going to walk all over him. Because you get in the Word of God and it says that all things are under his feet. And he's the head and we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are born again. So if it's under his feet and we're the body, then it's under our feet. See, authority is only as good as the power behind it. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I'm not trying to be egotistical, but I think this will get my point across. Okay. I am the head of all of Rhema worldwide. everything, worldwide. But let's just go to this campus. I'm the head here. I'm the head of all of it. But here, this whole campus, I'm the head. So I tell Skyler sitting there, he's one of my grandsons, he works here. In fact, he's in charge of all the Christmas lights now. And he's been working his self silly over there, getting them all fixed up and ready to be put up whenever time comes. If I give him an order and tell him to do something, now he has the authority to go do that, right? But the power behind what he's telling somebody to do comes from me. How many understand what I'm talking? How many of you work at a job? Okay. The boss tells you, go tell so-and-so, so-and-so, this, this, and this. You go do that. You do it with your authority, but not with your power. The power comes from the head man. Hey, it says we've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus, but the power is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. That's the power behind it all. Now I realize that's a sort of a silly way to try to explain it, but sometimes people don't understand that you got authorities here, but that authority is only as good as the power behind it. Come on. Anybody getting anything? I don't know about you, but I done got me excited again. I got excited working with this afternoon. Just getting all stirred up again about our authority and who we are in Christ and how that the enemy cannot overcome us if we put our feet down and say, no more, Mr. Devil. No more. Hallelujah. Sometimes, by the way some people talk, you'd think the devil had as much power as God. And yet the big question is, which one of them's going to win? Well, there's no question about it. God's already won. Our authority is the power of God through the name of Jesus. You know. So the value of our authority rests with God Himself. Because remember, Jesus was told, I've been given in all authority, heaven and earth, right? And He turned around, He gave that authority to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He said, pray in my name. He told His disciples, up to now, you've asked nothing in my name. He didn't have to. He was there with them. But now He's going away. And He said, up to now, you've asked nothing in my name. After I'm gone, you ask in my name. There was the power. You know, you go back over there in Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, they're going to cast the devil out. And they went to that, and the man, the devil in the man said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. See, he knew Paul through Jesus. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They had no authority. Well, they might have had some authority, but they had no power. That's to be debatable, I guess. What we've got to do is strengthen ourselves in the Lord so that we can stand strong. How do you strengthen yourself? By knowing the Word, knowing who you are in Christ. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. To me, that's saying that our strength comes from the mighty power of God. Now, the church has the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you, that's me, all of us, we have the same authority that Jesus has. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, which is a place of authority. If you go study world history, ancient history, and study the kings and the monarchs, the person of authority underneath the king, and that's where the saying right hand man comes from, set at his right hand. Go study it in history. That's where you get to say, oh, he's his right hand. What's that mean? That means he's the authority. He makes it happen. Something they used to say about me, they'd say, well, I was Kenneth E. Hagin's right hand. Because I would tell people, if he told me something to do, I went out and I told one guy one time, I said, it's going to be done with or without you. You make up your mind. Because if he said it, I was going to make it happen. Whether I thought that it was supposed to be or not, he said it. So that's the law. That's it. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. That's the truth. God said it. Here it is. This is the truth. Then it's up to you to use your authority to make it happen. Anybody getting this? You see, Ephesians 1:19-22. I told you you need to read Ephesians to understand authority. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at a place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now he's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. If the church, that's us that are born again, is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and he's the head, then we're connected. Do you realize your head causes everything else in your body to work? The head is the one that tells everything what to do. The head tells my hand, go down there and pick up that book. Hello. Now I realize I'm using some very simplistic illustrations. But sometimes we need to get the idea and realize that the things of God are not complicated. Now, some people try to make them so. But the thing, if you ever notice, Jesus taught in simplicity. Hello? The same power that raised Christ from the dead and made him to sit at the right hand is the same power that raises us. Ephesians 2:6 says so. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. The body has to be connected to the head before it can do anything. The authority that God conferred upon Jesus has been conferred upon us, the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you to begin functioning in that authority. Does the head possess anything the body doesn't? They're connected. One is no good without the other. Hello now. We are united, joined with Christ that is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now you see, you got to understand this as a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing. He is there, but his body is here spiritually. And we have the right to use the authority of the name of Jesus that gives us the power to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. I talked about this a minute ago, but let me go read it. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nation, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What he's telling them is, hey, listen, I have this authority, and now I'm giving you that authority. Go do it. It's called delegation. Or another term you might want to use is power of attorney. When somebody has delegated you to do something, then you have as much right to do it as the person themselves. Power of attorney means that you have the right as same as if you're that person. We have the same authority that Jesus had. We have authority over evil that comes to us. We have authority over the evil schemes and plans of the enemy. In fact, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit on inside of you, he'll tell you about it before it ever starts to happen, and then you can already be prepared. My dad taught that explicitly. We have the power and authority over sickness and disease, over poverty and lack, over bondage and captivity. Now, what we don't have authority over is other people. See, we need to stay balanced. Actually, I have no authority over you. Although we're in the body of Christ, we believe the same. Now, I have the authority to come in agreement with you, but I don't have the authority to override you. In fact, my wife will tell you, she hears me say it all the time when I'm praying. I come in agreement with all the church members that are praying a 91st Psalm over their life for this coronavirus. Now, I speak to it myself with my authority over my family. I'm the head of the Hagin family. I have that authority. I have that right. You have the right to speak, and I have the authority and the right given to me by the Word of God to join you and agree with you. Come on now. See, God instructs us in the Word of God. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. I see people trying to write, so I'll slow down. Ephesians 6:11. James 4:7. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he might run. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Look up that word flee. It means run from as in terror. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Stay alert. Watch for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. It didn't say he can devour you. It said he's looking to devour you, but for you to stand firm against him. In Smith Wigglesworth's book, Ever Increasing Faith, and some of you will remember this story. A woman, he tells this story. She come off her porch walking down to the tram, I think, but it's the bus stop. And her little dog walked with her. How many of you read that story in there? And she said, "Now, baby, you got to go back home." And the dog kept walking around, wagging his tail. About that time, the bus came out, she said, "Get back on that porch." And that dog tucked his tail and run back up on the porch. That's the way you got to do the devil. You can't be diplomatic with him. You got to stomp your foot and say, "Get out of here." We need to exercise our faith and our authority by using and speaking boldly the name of Jesus. When we do, you're going to find things are begin to change. Begin to speak with the authority of the name of Jesus over your business, over your job, over your finances, over your family, over your property. I do it all the time. I speak, man, any time they say severe thunderstorms or tornado watch, I immediately say, in the name of Jesus, every piece of the rhema property is protected. The rhema ranch is protected. My personal property is protected. And I agree with all of my church members for their property. See, I don't have the right to demand it. I got the right to do it. And I say that my kids' property is protected. See, you got to learn who you are in Christ and boldly learn how to stand up and declare it in the name of Jesus. I've been long enough. Anybody get anything tonight? I know most of you already knew this, but I was wanting tonight to stir you up again. Get you excited about your authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody stand, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son Jesus that came. And because he died and was raised again, we have the authority. And I thank you for that. Help us to understand our authority. Help us to walk in our authority against all of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, I trust you got something out of this. I don't know about you, but I did. I got excited. I know all that. Been taught it all my life. Remember, I was with the man that came out and began teaching the authority of the believer. I grew up in his house. You know, sometimes I have people try to tell me that they know more about how my dad acted and what he believed than I did. Sometimes I just laugh at them, but sometimes I get disgusted because they won't back off. And I say, "Listen, let me tell you a little secret. Did you sleep under his roof? Do you have his DNA? I said, "Until then, I believe I'd be quiet if I was you. Only I say, "Shut up." Because they get under my skin and I ain't going to take it no more. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Yes.
How many of you are ready to take a stand boldly on the word? Because we have the right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord we can have a normal altar call again. If you happen to be in this place and you need Jesus as your Savior, you've never accepted him, so you can't get in on what I'm talking about, but you can if you come accept Jesus. Are you in here and you know what it is, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be with God and you need to rededicate your life? or you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, or you need prayer for anything, the men are here, the ladies are here. As we dismiss, you come down here to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, at 10 o'clock Sunday morning right here, and then Sunday night at 6, come believing, come expecting. Hey, and I'm going to get to dismiss the dismisser. He's over here. We don't have to dismiss by sections anymore, but be cautious with people. Some people still don't want any close distancing, and hey, that's all right. Whatever you want, that's fine. But disrespect one another, okay? If somebody sticks out their hand, well, then they won't shake. If you don't want to shake, you say, listen, I'd just rather not. I mean, and don't anybody get offended, okay? We're all individuals, and we got a right to be what we want to be. Okay? Amen. That's my little sermon.